From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12, entitled Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva. Text number 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam aviklavam avritam. Tam aviklavam avritam. Alaksha Madhusudana. Alaksha Madhusudana. Vacha Paramaprito. Vacha Paramaprito. Bibratsvam Purushim Tanum. Bibratsvam Purushim Tanum. Tam aviklavam avridam. Alaksha Madhusudana. Uvacha paramaprito. Bibratsvam Purushim Tanum. Tam aviklavam avritam. Alaksha Madhusudana. Vacha paramaprito. Bibratsvam Purushim Tanum. Tam aviklavam avridam. Alaksha Madhusudana. Tam aviklavam avrityam. Alaksha Madhusudana. Vacha paramaprito. Bibratsvam Purushim Tanum. Tam aviklavam avritam. Alaksha Madhusudana. Vacha paramaprito. Bibratsvam Purushim Tanum. Tam aviklavam avritam. Alaksha Madhusudana. Vacha paramaprito. Bibratsvam Purushim Tanum. Tam him, Lord Shiva, aviklavam, without being agitated by the incident that had taken place. Avridam, without being ashamed. Alaksha, seen. Madhusudanaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's known as Madhusudan, the killer of the demon Madhu. Vacha, said. Paramapritaha, being very pleased. Bibrat, assuming. Swam, his own. Purushim, original. Tanum, form. Seeing Lord Shiva unagitated and unashamed, Lord Vishnu, Madhusudana, was very pleased. Thus he assumed his original form and spoke as follows. Purport. Although Lord Shiva was aghast at the potency of Lord Vishnu, he did not feel ashamed. Rather, he was proud to be defeated by Lord Vishnu. Nothing is hidden from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is in everyone's heart. Indeed, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 15, Sarvasya chaham ridisani visto mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Whatever happened had taken place under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore there was no cause to be sorry or ashamed. Although Lord Shiva is never defeated by anyone, when defeated by Lord Vishnu, he felt proud that he had such an exalted and powerful master. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Viditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So Lord Shiva, being the greatest Vaishnava, was not overly agitated, he was unagitated actually, and unashamed of what had happened, because he realized that everything took place by the arrangement of the Lord. Lord Shiva is very powerful. He performs various activities on as a servant of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, but he has various powers. He's actually an expansion of Lord Vishnu, Shiva Tattva, specifically manifest to interact with the material nature. And Lord Shiva does that. So he's very powerful, but yet he, in this particular situation, realized that his master had overpowered him. And he wasn't disturbed by that, nor was he ashamed. Rather, he was pleased by that. And the Lord, seeing that his servant, although his servant was defeated, although his servant was but still he saw that his servant wasn't agitated by that or ashamed by that. So this pleases the Lord. We as devotees that are aspiring to make advancement in devotional service, we face various challenges in that effort, because trying to make advancement in devotional service is something like Prabhupada said, declaring war on the material energy. Right? And who are we as insignificant spirit souls? And what is Krishna's material energy? Very powerful. And we're very insignificant, very small spirit souls. And we've been under the control of the material energy for who knows how long. It's forever in one sense, because you can't really trace it out when we were under the control of the material energy. So it's a long time. We're buddha jeeves, conditioned souls. But coming to, and as conditioned souls, we're, you know, tightly under the control of the material energy, Maya. Right? She, you know, we do her bidding. She dictates, we do. Right? And now when you come to devotional service, when you begin to chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare We're handing that control of ourselves over to Krishna. So Prabhupada said that's a very bold step for the conditioned soul. It's like declaring war on the material energy. You know, when one nation declares war on another nation, they go all out to become victorious. So in the same way, Maya, she becomes more determined to say, oh yeah, you want to bet. So we're in a very precarious position. Neither do we have full faith in Krishna. Neither do we have full faith in the holy name. Right? And neither are we completely free from the attraction Maya. So on one side we're saying, yes, I want Krishna. And but I wouldn't mind a little Maya too. So it's an incompatible situation. Right? Until the devotee becomes up on an elevated, a little elevated platform, not a very elevated platform, but a little elevated platform, that he's convinced, I don't want to have anything to do with Maya. I've had enough. Right? Until he comes to that platform, well, he may get involved in things that he's ashamed of. We see that Lord Shiva, because he's such an elevated Vaishnava, and he can understand that whatever's happening to him, whatever he's doing, it's all happening by the arrangement of the Lord. So he's not agitated, he's not ashamed of what's happening, because he realizes that he's under the control of the Lord, and the Lord is very powerful. So being defeated by the master is understood. And I think that Srila Prabhupada, when he dealt with devotees individually, he would, you know, try to train them in Krishna consciousness so that they would become fixed up. Shruti Kirti Prabhu tells a nice story how Srila Prabhupada and one devotee named Paramahamsa Swami, who's no longer with us, but he was originally from St. Louis, two sannyasis that came from St. Louis, Parivra Jakacharya Maharaj and Paramahamsa Maharaj. So they were very young, they took sannyas. But anyway, Shruti Kirti was the servant, the secretary was Paramahamsa, and they were traveling with Srila Prabhupada. They came to Fiji, I believe it was, Fiji. So they had a long flight from somewhere, and both Paramahamsa and Shruti Kirti were very tired. But Srila Prabhupada, he came, and they were at a life member's house. Prabhupada came to one room and immediately started his program. And Shruti Kirti and Paramahamsa were in another room, dead tired from the traveling. So they organized Srila Prabhupada's breakfast, and then Srila Prabhupada was taking breakfast, and then after breakfast, he laid down for a short nap. So then they thought, okay, this is our time to catch some sleep. So they went in the other room and they were completely zonked out. So the next thing you know, there was the bell from Srila Prabhupada ringing the bell. So Shruti Kirti woke up and he came into Prabhupada's room and he was offering his obeisances. And while he was offering his obeisances, he was trying to get the sleep out of his face. So when he got up, Srila Prabhupada said, so you were sleeping? And he said, he knew now that after having traveled with Srila Prabhupada for some time, that you don't make excuses. You just say, yes, you're sorry. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, I'm sorry. So then Srila Prabhupada said, where's Paramahamsa Swami? And so he said, he's sleeping in the other room. So he said, call him. So he came. And Srila Prabhupada said, why are you sleeping? You're supposed to be a sannyasi, minimizing eating and sleeping. What is this? And he said, well, Srila Prabhupada, you know, it's a jet lag. And Prabhupada said, jet lag? I came with you. I don't have any jet. What is this jet lag? Prabhupada told him that as a sannyasi, you're to minimize these things, eating and sleeping. So Srila Prabhupada mercifully was training the devotees to be fixed in devotional service. And the devotees never resented that chastisement or instruction because they were surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. And he was the master and is the master. Just like Lord Shiva, he didn't resent being defeated by Lord Vishnu because he's the master of Lord Shiva. So the as aspiring devotees, we have to develop this mentality of being subservient to the master. That's very important for us to make advancement in devotional service. The conditioned soul is wrongly concluded that he's the master, and all of his activities are related, you know, are performed in that mood, you know, that he's the master and he's trying to, although he's not the master, in reality he's the servant, right? He's the servant of his relatives, he's the servant of his boss at work, he's the servant of his senses, right? And one time, one devotee asked me, oh, you're a spiritual master? And I said, yes. He said, oh, really? I said, yeah, I have 5 disciples, but none of those disciples listen to me, so I decided not to take any more disciples. And there are senses. So the thing is this, that learning how to be the good servant, understanding that we are subservient to the master, this will bring about peacefulness. As long as we're trying to be the master instead of being the servant of the master, then we'll always have an agitation because that's not our position. That's the position of Krishna. It's the position of the bona fide spiritual master, that they're the master. And even the bona fide spiritual master, he doesn't consider himself the master. He considers himself the servant of his spiritual master and the servant of Krishna. So we learn from this verse that if we want to become unagitated, if we want to be confident about all the activities, whatever we perform in, that wherever we perform, we should do them with the consciousness of being subservient to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Are there any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So, it's kind of related to the question I asked last night a little bit further. When we're engaging in devotional service and we need this subservient mood and not thinking ourselves the masters, but sometimes things need to get done. And if we don't think that we're qualified to do them, or if we're just like the humble servant, then or just it's up to Krishna, you know, Krishna's the doer, we're not the doer. And it seems like if we are in this mood, then nothing ever changes or gets done, or we don't progress. We just, everything stays stagnant, and like stay in the past almost. When things need to be changed for time and like we need to progress as a movement, like to stay in tune with the times and like to be relevant.
Well, we're not the doer is correct, but we do endeavor. We make the endeavor. We leave the result up to Krishna. But it's not that Krishna would be pleased if we didn't make the endeavor. Srila Prabhupada said once in a class that Krishna told Arjuna to fight. He told him to fight. But don't be attached to the results. Do it for me. Do it for my pleasure, he told Arjuna. It's not that Krishna told Arjuna, you just sit in the chariot and smoke ganja and I'll do all the killing, don't worry. He didn't say like that. You have to do your duty. You have to do your prescribed duty, perform it. But don't be attached to the results. I remember once in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada gave a class and he said that our duty is to present Krishna consciousness to everyone. Right? Whether they take or they don't take, that's up to Lord Chaitanya. But our duty is to present them with Krishna consciousness. So we have to make the endeavor. Right? But we shouldn't be, you know, attached to the result. If the results aren't coming, maybe it's due to the fact that we're so attached to the particular result. And if we stand back a little bit and be a little more objective, then maybe the results will come. If Krishna sees that we're overly attached, then the source of that attachment, having that thing completed, might not be good for us. So we need to do our duty. Krishna says never be attached to not performing your duty. Just because something is difficult or something is hard, we should not shy away from doing it, right? If it's our duty. And and at the same time, we shouldn't be attached to the results. We should leave the results up to Krishna. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. You were mentioning the difficult part for Shuddha Kirti and Paramahamsa Maharaj was they knew after a long time to, they had to be honest with Prabhupada. And I kind of like to relate it to this verse where Shiva says he's unashamed. It seems that as devotees, we could perform a lot of austerities and like chanting Hare Krishna or Ekadashi, but one particular austerity that's very difficult to perform is being honest, especially when we make mistakes. And it seems like we hear so many teachings of rules and regulations, and the tendency is that when we do commit a mistake, we want to, especially as a leader like Lord Shiva, the tendency is to cover all our faults because we want to put that image that we're perfect devotees. And but it says that here that the Lord was pleased with Lord Shiva's honesty, that he wasn't ashamed. So what are some steps we could do to compel ourselves to perform austerities that's not just maybe increase our false ego, including, you know, even maybe chanting Hare Krishna lots of rounds or Ekadashi or so many austerities that, you know, can increase the false ego. So how do we, what steps can we do to compel us to be more honest and other austerities that decrease our false ego? So that's my question.
Well, I think that what we see here in this particular purport is that Srila Prabhupada is explaining that although Lord Shiva recognized the potency of Lord Vishnu, he didn't feel ashamed at being defeated because he realized that he's much more powerful than him. So your question was, how can we be more honest with our particular situation? And honesty is facing the situation honestly and then in that way, you don't want to pretend to be on some kind of platform that you're not on, right? Isn't that what you're saying? Well, yeah, that's a very important thing. We should be honest with ourselves and honest with others. Otherwise, one of the processes of devotional service is to reveal your mind in confidence, right? But if you're not honest, how could you reveal your mind in confidence with anyone? You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of being honest with yourself, and that way you'll be honest with others. At the same time, we have to recognize what we're dealing with, and that's the material energy, which is very, very powerful. Maya is very strong, and unless we become sincere, she will defeat us, Prabhupada said. So it's a matter of becoming sincere. When they asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we be sincere? And he said, by being sincere. So that sincerity means that we have a strong purpose in rendering devotional service. You know, and that Rupa Goswami explains, that's developed by having enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Just see how much patience Srila Prabhupada had with the devotees. Another one of his servants, Hari Sari, describes how Srila Prabhupada was brought water in a pitcher and a glass, and then Srila Prabhupada drank from the glass and set it down. Well, Hari Sari picked up the glass that Srila Prabhupada drank from, and simultaneously he picked up the pitcher. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, that's not right. I've drunken from the glass, therefore the glass is not clean. You take that glass, wash it, wash your hands, and then come back and get the pitcher. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, was instructing him in the standard cleanliness. Sometimes we resent that, you know, having to wash your hands. But that's all about cleanliness. And cleanliness is next to godliness. But what amazed Shruti Kirti is how patiently Srila Prabhupada described that cleanliness, and how many times to how many other servants he must have had to tell that same thing, right? So he was amazed at his patience. So certainly Srila Prabhupada was patient with all of his people that he was trying to instruct Krishna consciousness. So in the same way, we want to be determined and we want to be enthusiastic, but at the same time we have to be patient for the results. But the results will come. And that result will be that we will make genuine advancement. And that you won't have to get up on a pedestal and say, well, look at me, I'm advanced. You know, people will appreciate that without any effort from your side. Right? Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Prabhu, still I am...
You're sitting on a brick.
Yeah, still I am confused that how Lord Shiva, he didn't feel any ashamed because Bhavani was there, his wife was there, and he and all followers, everybody were sages, great sages were there. Still, how didn't you feel the same? Still, I'm bewildered.
Please. Well, I think that's explained here. You know, he on the one hand, Prabhupada said he was aghast at the potency. Aghast. What does that word aghast mean? Shocked. He was shocked. Right? So that's one emotion. He was like, whoa, wow, what happened? Right? But he wasn't ashamed because he realized the power of the master. Right? He lost his power due to the power of the master. Right? So that's why he wasn't ashamed. But it wasn't like he wasn't, you know, he had no emotion at all. He was like really, you know, shocked and horrified. Okay? So there's two, you know, in devotional service, it's dynamic, it's multifaceted. Many different emotions Lord Shiva was experiencing by this particular incident. But at the same time, he wasn't ashamed because he knew of the power of the master, Lord Vishnu. We have to be a little careful because these very extraordinary personalities, you know, sometimes we can't really understand all the different situations that are there. Remember the story of King Chitraketu, right? Parvati was sitting on Lord Shiva's lap in front of all these elevated sadhus. And he smiled at that, you know, Uma was sitting on Lord Shiva's lap in front of all these saintly persons. Well, for that, he was cursed to take birth as Pritrasur, the demon. So understanding exactly all their different emotions may be difficult for us. But on the other hand, we certainly see that Lord Shiva, although he was simultaneously horrified, at the same time, he wasn't ashamed because he realized the power and the potency of Lord Vishnu. Anything else? Yes? What happened to your head? Oh, pretty big cut. Devotional service is like the razor's edge, yeah?
So, I guess, yeah, even related to that, there are moments where we become aghast. Especially if we make a public mistake, we kind of get choked up on our ego there. I've heard Prabhupada described as spontaneously impeccable. So in whatever situation he was in, he was able to be independent in that situation and act properly. How to maintain an attitude that allows us to remain humble in that situation where the tendency would be to defend and not be able to kind of see, oh, this is, I've been defeated here, but, because the first reaction in the heart is to defend or blame, even internally at least.
Tell him it's jet lag.
Yes.
So. It's jet lag, bro.
So, I mean, and particularly they're fortunate because they're in the presence of Srila Prabhupada.
Well, generally speaking, my experience is that we defend first. And then later on, if we're reflective, we'll see that our fault. if somebody calls us on something, we'll say, well, you know, our false ego comes out first. But because we're rendering devotional service, because we're chanting, in a moment of reflection, we'll see that, well, you know, maybe that person was right, or I could have done that in a different way, or I should have responded to the situation in a different way. And so that's where you make advancement. So that gradually, when such situations come, you're able to deal with it right in the beginning, instead of from a false ego platform, from a more, you know, how do you say? Anyway, not really sure, but you'll be able to deal with it differently than just from the false ego platform of defending. So that's, you know, sometimes we're in a better situation to deal with things, and sometimes we're not, because our Krishna consciousness is like that. Sometimes we feel strong in our Krishna consciousness, and that's natural, because Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Devotion, it's just like the waning and the waxing of the moon. So sometimes the moon's becoming brighter and brighter, and today is the full moon. It's at its brightest. But sometimes our Krishna consciousness is going the other way. It's becoming darker and darker to the, what they call the new moon, or Amavasya, you know, no moon. And then at that time, where we obviously, when we get in situations, we deal with things differently. Right? So that's where the patience comes in. We have to realize that, you know, we're not really that all that fixed in devotional service. So we don't want to be too hard on ourselves for not dealing with a situation in a proper way. It's understandable that we don't. But one thing is, we do want to become determined in, and that is to continue the process and to stay in association with devotees. Because Maya's number one trick is to get us to leave the association of devotees and to give up the process, because we just think it's just too hard. I can't do it, or I don't want to do it, or whatever. We want to stay away from that mentality, stick to the process, and as much as possible, stay in association with devotees. And these little things that happen, interactions, and that will, you know, that will go on. It's not like we won't have those kind of things out in the material world. You know, daily things like that happen. So naturally they happen here too. But the real important thing is to stick to the process. Is that okay?
From the idea that Lord Shiva didn't experience shame, I just wanted to ask the question. It seems shame and guilt are connected to, since you brought up the, in response over here, the part of the ego. It would seem that shame and guilt don't feature if one is on that kind of elevated platform of completely connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and seeing oneself in relation to Him. So is that accurate?
Can you say that again? I didn't catch it.
shame and guilt seem to be emotions or responses that are very much coming from the ego part.
Yeah.
So in the case of Lord Shiva, He didn't have those emotions. I mean, there was the horror part, the aghast part. So would it be accurate to say that being on that kind of platform where he is completely seeing himself or identifying himself completely in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of serving him, then being on that kind of platform, shame and guilt don't feature because they're emotions that connect, that are very much connected to just the ego part. Is that accurate?
I think so. yeah, we see here that he was rather proud of being defeated by the Lord. He was happy to have been defeated by the Lord. The guilt and the shame, like you said, they come about from the false ego. And the false ego is that I am the enjoyer, or I'm a competitor enjoyer with the Supreme Lord. It's not that the pure devotees of the Lord don't have ego, they have ego. But that, see, here is it, he was proud. He was proud of his master. So that's the real ego. Instead of being proud of our own abilities, our own whatever, our own quote-unquote qualities, but rather we're proud to be the servant of the master who has all the wonderful qualities. And the guilt and the shame are there because no matter how hard we try, we're not going to be the master. We're not going to be what we are trying to be. And when we become defeated by the material energy, then we become ashamed or we feel guilty. So to overcome this, we need to simply realize our position as being very insignificant, and then we'll overcome this shame and guilt, and rather we'll be like Lord Shiva. We should try to be one day proud to be defeated by the Lord. Is that all right? Thank you very much. Oh, one more question. Yes. Yeah.
Something that came to my mind was that Lord Vishnu was pleased with the attitude of Lord Vishnu. And yeah. And our goal as devotees is to please Krishna, or in this case, Lord Vishnu was appearing as Mohini Murta and defeated Lord Shiva. So it's, if we can please the Lord by accepting that defeat from him, then he will be pleased with us. It's surrender. It's a surrender.
Yes.
So that's just something that came to my mind. Just Lord Shiva was certainly ashamed of having been defeated, but he was peaceful about it, and not, he was steady-minded about
it.
And he was pleased by his attitude. He was pleasing Lord Vishnu.
Yeah, and it was genuine.
Right.
It was genuine. He just didn't, say, like, recently we had an election here, right? And one party lost. Well, they come out to the media and say, we wish the winner all the luck, and we're all in the same country, and we're all together, and, that wasn't genuine.
Right.
The loser in the heart was thinking, that bloody FBI secretary put my name on it. But they come out and say, we're all one country, we're all together, let's give the winner a chance. Right? But Lord Shiva, you know, he genuinely had that. He was pleased to have been defeated by the Lord. So the Lord sees that. He knows everything. He's Sarvaschachahamridisani still. He knows better than even we do our own desires. Because he reminds us of our desires. You remember, you wanted to do this. So he knows us better than we know ourselves, much, much better than we know ourselves, because we're part of him. We're part of him. When he sees that we're genuine in our surrender, as you mentioned, surrender, when he sees we're genuine, then he says, oh, very nice. Yes.
Thank you, Bhima Prabhu. from the perspective of, you know, aspiring devotee, guilt and shame seems to be also like a sign of at least, you know, you're recognizing that you made a mistake or you did something wrong and you're ashamed of it. And on the other hand, when you're shameless, is that you don't care. Whatever is there, you know, it's like you don't recognize making mistakes. But being ashamed, being guilty, shows that you have a sense of, you know, that. And I guess is how you deal then with that shame and guilt that will show how sincere you are.
Well, yes, we are ashamed of our past sinful activities, and we should be remorseful that we engaged in these activities. But the way to deal with that is to develop a determination that we won't engage in these things again. So we're unhappy about the fact that we wasted so much time or we engaged in these activities. But then we, at the same time, should become determined not to do them again. Because the Lord is very merciful and he's very forgiving. And so out of our gratitude for his mercy, we should develop some determination to not engage in these activities again. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I just want to say that, you know, you have this on live. So in St. Louis Temple, we just had a few devotees. So a lot of times we would watch the class from Kishori Live. So I wanted to thank you all for, you know, maintaining this Srimad Bhagavatam class, because there's devotees everywhere that's taken advantage of it. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Mercy. You have so much mercy. You should show me mercy.